Blog Talk Radio.
Desperate House Witches. I'm Raina Star, so you don't have to be. Desperate House Witches is not a G, PG, or even an R-rated show. So if bad language, bodily function, dirty talk of any kind might upset you, this may not be the show for you. Desperate House Witches is brought to you by the amazingly wicked one herself, the incredible Dorothy Morrison. Check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com for all of your witching needs. And I will have an announcement very soon about the 2023 Home Blessing Ornaments. I am not allowed to let the date go yet, but it will be soon, I promise you. So check out www.wickedwitchstudios.com. One other note before I bring on my guests. Thank you to everyone who went out there and voted. Thank you for giving the Democrats the Senate. Again, we need to secure that last seat from Raphael Warnock. Please, 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 Georgia, come through, come through. Still don't know what's happening in the House, but that is a developing story as well. All right, enough of me. With me for the next 2 hours, or however long he doesn't get bored with me, my amazing, amazing guest, the urban shaman himself, Elohim Leofar. Elo, how are you, my friend?
Hello, Grace. How are you doing? Tell me everything about you. How are you doing?
Oh, just great to hear your voice. So happy to hear from you. So what has been going on in your life? You said it's a very cold day today. Are you snuggled up with your honey, or what are your plans for this Sunday after we get off the phone?
I'm just crafting some candles. I'm doing some incense. I'm doing incense for you.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah. just that. My plan for today is you. You are my plan.
I
you
am
are
your
my
plan.
Priority
all
today.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I really appreciate it. So, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about some, you know, I watch you post. I'm a huge fan, obviously.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, and I think you have very important things to say to the community. And I see you constantly calling out anger and jealousy and gatekeepers and bitterness. You never name names. You're very respectful, even when you're going after people who are not being respectful. And that's an art form in itself.
My mom teach me well.
She really did. Great credit to your mom, because you are what I consider a perfect gentleman, even in less than perfect situations. So I want to know, are you experiencing, do you find as you've gotten more popular, Elo has written many books. He's a great writer. He's a big inspiration online. If you're not already a fan, I suggest you check out his social media and his website and all of the ways to reach him. He really is uplifting, and his website is ElohimLeofar.com, all one word, except for the .com, obviously. But you can see all the books he's written, and he's, you know, he's inspirational. He has a, this is who I am, this is what I'm putting out there, and you can take it or you can leave it. But are you finding as you become better known that you get even more negativity thrown at you? What is your experience as like since the last time we spoke? It's been, what, a year or so? What have you been experiencing?
Yeah. I don't know if we can define it like popularity. I think it's more like a connection. I think that many people out there feel overwhelmed with social media, with the community. And just because social media is a very superficial aspect of the community, and when you see the community, we talk about the community over and over, but when people go and have the opportunity to be part of the community, which is exactly the aspect of our community. People just see events, more events, and if you are not part of the events, you are not part of the cool people. And you know, feel entirely like an entitled group of people, like you need to pay for the events, you need to be part of the event, you need to assist to the event, or if not, you are not part of the community. So this creates some kind of mischief in the air for the people who is new on this. You want to be part of the community, and it's like you need to be part of this, you need to assist to them, you need to pay for the tickets, you need to go to them, you need to participate, you need to teach classes. And sometimes people just want to be part of the process. They don't want to be in the spotlight. And I think that we sell too much superficiality in social media. You know, every time that we try to do a post, one of the things that I try to always do is do the thing that I use no filters. I try to don't use filters. I try to show you what is in reality happening, how it's looking the light without any superficial filter. People connect with this. They are like, oh, it's someone else out there thinking like me, someone with who I can identify, that you don't need to be perfect. You don't need to try to be perfect. You don't need to try to convince everybody that you are a good person. You don't need to try anything. You just need to be yourself and come here and, you know, embrace the crowd, be part of the group, you know, because when you just focus, we always use the word community when we refer to events, to the people who make events, but we forget the people, the common people who are not authors, the common people who are not bloggers, the common people who are not bestsellers, the common people who are not event organizers. The person who go to the event and buy stuff, the person who consume your podcast, the person who consume your books, the person who buy the candles in the store, the common person who really is living witchcraft. The authors, we take, and I say this always, we take all the spoiler because, you know, the word author is like, oh, it's embellished. Every time that you say, you're an author, everybody's like, oh, he's an author, he wrote books. But I always say this, podcasters and store owners, they know much more on witchcraft than the author, because the author passed 6 months, 9 months just sitting down writing a book without the opportunity to really put in practice some things. So you are writing down for 9 months what you have been learning for the past 9 months. But while you are writing, these people is doing witchcraft every day. They know much more than us. And they don't take the spotlight. They don't take the attention. They don't take the fame. Nobody is going behind the podcasters. Nobody is going behind to know who is the owner store, which is the name of the owner store, but the owner store have 20 or 30 years of expertise. So,
I think that
that people have the opportunity to connect because they see, oh, is someone here that, you know, make me feel like I'm really being part of the crowd. Like, I remember in an interview that made some people uncomfortable, I was saying, you know, if you want to practice money magic, practice. If you want to buy my book, buy it. If you don't want to buy the book, don't buy it. But practice. Put in practice your things. And don't do it for convince others. Don't do it for the picture on Instagram. Do it for yourself.
Right. Well, yes, of course. You have to do it for yourself. But by the same token, and here's the thing that I love about the way you write. You write for everybody. You make it accessible for everybody. You don't tell people that yours is the only way. And that's a wonderful thing. And I think it's so important when you call people out for being disingenuous and just trying to take advantage of other people. Witchcraft, you know, people, well, here's the thing. People who write deserve to be paid for their writing. People who create specific content, anybody who wants to be paid, I have no problem with that. But it should be a choice completely made by how the individual feels, not because of a sense of guilt or a sense of being forced into it or being told, well, if you don't buy this course or if you don't by this book, you're less than. I mean, I totally understand what you're saying as far as, you know, all of that goes. Nobody has the right to tell anyone what a real witch is or is not because you're not living their life. And I have a lot of problems with people who do that whole gatekeeping. If it's not, you know, I get a lot of shit from my own community. Being Gardnerian, you know, I'm called any number of names because I don't practice the way we were taught back in the 70s, where we didn't have people be accepted. All kinds of people need to be accepted everywhere for all of the things that we ever do. And when you start excluding people, you're only really hurting yourself because you are excluding other ideas, other ways of doing things. So, I mean, I have no problem with people who want to be paid for their content. It's the reaction that some people have when you refuse to pay for their content. You know, it's like any class you want to take. If I go to a college class, I have to pay for that. Anyone is deserving of payment for their expertise, of course. But in this particular case, being witchcraft or being spirituality, you have the choice. You're not less of a spiritualist because you didn't take this course or read this book. This is something that comes from within. Now, you know, yes, the word community, I sometimes I have problems with the word community because community means different things to different people. Are we talking about a pagan community at large? Are we talking about a witchcraft community? Are we talking about, you know, a gay community? Are we talking about a non-gendered community? There's so many different communities. I love the idea that we can include everybody in our sense of community, but some people just don't feel part of it. Some people don't want to be part of it. And I see, you know, I see you protecting people through your ideas and your posts of don't listen to the noise. Don't listen to the anger, the jealousy. Don't listen to people who want to take your freedom because they don't have any themselves. And a lot of these cages seem to be built by people themselves. If anyone's really trapping them, it's that they are feeling overwhelmed by certain forces outside of themselves that tell them they're doing wrong or turning their nose up at them. And I see a lot of this too. And I'm so grateful that you're constantly out there saying, you don't have to listen to this bullshit. You don't have to buy this nonsense from anybody telling you that you can't be exactly whatever you want to be. And I love that about you.
Thank you. This is the thing. Community should be a crowd of people following an idea or a concept, and maybe you can have a leader who represent this idea or this concept. And if you feel that this is the right leader, you follow the leader because you know the leader is empowering you in the right way. The thing with pagan witch communities is, the problem, like always, is in the moment that you throw the money over the table, the community start to divide. When you have a whole community, you know, we go to meet in the park and we go to craft some things. Everybody brings something. Everybody brings your candles, your incense. This is for free. We go to meet in there. We go to craft something. This is my community. We do this. And it's not money involved. Everybody's participating. And it's something very cool. Some people come. Some people prefer to not. In the moment that you say everybody can come, everybody's welcome, but you need to pay for this. Well, not everybody is welcome because not everybody have, you know, the capacity, the monetary capacity in this moment, especially right now in this year, to assist to your event. In the moment that you are doing an event, people who is blind or have some kind of physical disadvantage can't assist for one or two reasons. They are not being welcome. So the speech of you are welcome really is a really empty speech because not everyone is welcome. Who is being welcome is the person who has the time off, the person who is entitled to ask for a day off in their job, and not everybody has that opportunity. The person who have the money to spend $100, $200, $300 in an event for a whole weekend, that No, it's not everybody precisely. The person who is, in their all capacities. If you are not blind, if you are not a muted person, you can go to them, but not everybody is welcome. And this money involved, when you put money involved in formula, people start fighting because it's something natural.
Yeah.
And people start to creating different communities. So we have the pagan community, the witch community, the metaphysical community, the community of Bay Area, the community of New York, the community of Salem, the community of New Orleans, many different communities, and people forget to talk about the whole community. Convenient for the whole community. Everybody is, I do this for the community, but you are doing it for the whole community, for the benefit of everybody, or for the benefit of your community, or just for the benefit of your pocket. You need to be a little more specific, because if you want to be paid for your work, it's okay, do it, it's your work. I'm presenting this event. Everybody who has the money to participate and the time to participate, you are welcome to come here to the event, but you are not doing the event for the community, except if you are doing the event and giving back the money to the community in some way. You are not doing it because you are being paid for your classes. You are not giving anything for free, so it's not the community. It's your crowd. It's your pocket. And we throw the word community everywhere. And when you do that, and people is coming out from the broom closet, and they are trying to be part. Oh, I want to be a witch, I want to be a Wiccan, I want to be part of this. And the first thing that you say to them is, you need to buy these books, you need to come to these classes, you need to pay for this, you need to buy everything in that store, which is a friend of mine, you need to come to this event to be part of the community so I can present you with other people. The shift and the mind of the people are shifting like, what you are telling me is that to be part of this community is an investment. I'm buying Herbalife. I'm buying something, so I'm part of the community. That is what you are saying to people. You need to buy something to be part of the community, and that is very incorrect. That is very wrong. That should be, because the community should be for free. It should be for everybody. The witchcraft community has been historically linked to minorities, to persons who have been persecuted. We always read in the books on witchcraft, literally always. The witches were born because they were women who were very wise. The women were smarter than men. They were, during the plague, during the black fever, when the rats were throwing the fever everywhere, the women were very wise, and they were with a broom cleaning the house because they know that the rats are transmitting some kind of illness to other people, something that men can't understand. They just say, she's wise or she's a witch. We go to burn the witch. The witch, the woman was the minority. They were the victim. Mm-hmm. And now you have a whole community that is not trying to empower a woman, it's just trying to make money based on these old stories about how women were born. And when you read books on witchcraft, you read, the Romani community, they do this. The African community do that. We take this belief from the people from Brazil who practice candomblé or kumbanda, and they do this in this way. So you are taking parts from different crowds, from different minorities, putting all of this together like witchcraft. And when these people come back to trying to be part, you say, no, you can't be part of this because you are a woman, because you are a black person, because you are a Romani person, because you are a trans person. Well, historically, you have been taking parts from these people, and now you are not letting them come to be part of the community that you create based on their own beliefs. Especially when we talk about women, that is something that really frustrates me because everything that I know in life, especially about witchcraft, how the craft comes from women, because I have a lot of sisters and all of them practice witchcraft and brujería and magic and divination, and I learn everything that I know from them. I learn everything that I know from my grandma, from my mother. No was any man involved in my life teaching me witchcraft. So when I come here and I see that all the whole community goes around just men, that for me is a complicated idea because I come from a different country where women are really empowered. We have this archetype that is some kind of joke, but it's real that Latin women are stronger than men. We always have jokes about it. In the TV shows, you see how Latin women are represented. If you don't do something, she goes to punch you in the face because the Latin community is always trying to empower women and black people. So when I traveled here to the USA, the first years I don't know them because obviously I was busy with other things, but now I am more open-minded. I'm like, I'm not liking this really, because the whole fame and attention of the community goes directly to the man, to the crowd of men, to the gay men. But where is the woman in the community? Because everything in the community comes from women. I mean, every one of us born from a woman. And also that all the whole concept of the witchcraft, all of these pictures and stories about women dancing with the devil in the Sabbath, about women being born in a pole in front of whole Salem, about the black woman being tortured in New Orleans, about the woman escaping from Romania in boats to come to USA to teach witchcraft to their family. All of this is about women, but we give all of these stories about men, so we create events about empowering women, but the event is leader for a man. Books on witchcraft, but writers for men. It's everything about manpower, and that is disempowering at the same time, because you don't see the attention going in some ways. You just see the same monarchy, archetype, stereotypical, misogynistic, everything is about men. They just take the whole concept of Catholicism and they just change the faith. Oh, we have here a God, we have the Virgin Mary, so you just say that is the God, and you just say that this is the God, and we venerate it in the same way. So we put woman away of her power, and we continue giving all the attention to the man when you have a whole crowd of women around who can do things for themselves. And it's very complicated for me when I see that, because when I see this kind of things happening in the community, how women are totally being ignored, they are totally being dismissed, they are not being empowered, they are not being supported. When I see this, I just imagine, this could be my sister, this could be my nephew.
Yeah.
And this is very complicated for me, because, you know, women has lost everything in every war, and people have taken so much from them. All the time, so much from you, all the time. I mean, for many years, women don't have the right to vote. And now that have the right to vote, it's very complicated. Every time that a woman goes to be part of the system, to be part of a political position, is, oh, but you know, she's a woman, this will be difficult for her. Why this need to be difficult for her? And witchcraft is a same representation of this, because witchcraft is political. And you see, witchcraft continues being empowered just by men. Every time that you look for a list of booksellers or bestsellers authors in the community, all of them are men. You just will find one or two women, probably one who is a black woman. Everybody else is a white man, and that is very complicated. I'm not saying that they are doing a bad job. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we are not supporting women in the same way that we support men. Every time that a man publishes a book, everybody is behind them. The publisher, the companies, the advertiser, and the publicists, the stores, everybody promoting. When a woman put out a book and sells 1,000 copies, oh, you know, so nice, she sells 1,000 copies. We are being so supportive with her, and they continue supporting the man. That is frustrating.
Wow. I didn't even think about that. That's, yeah. Wow. This is why I love you, because you look at everyone. And you consider how everyone is doing, not just for yourself, but you look at the entire world and you see how everyone is being treated. You know, it doesn't occur to me except in the sense that shit always runs downhill. And, you know, if women are not getting, well, I mean, it's true. If women aren't getting their due, then people of color aren't getting their due. And so on and so forth, and people who are trans aren't getting their due, and people who are non-gendered aren't getting their due. I mean, it's a constant uphill battle for everyone to try to, you know, have a successful life. Not necessarily be the most popular, because I think people have weird ideas about what success means. You know, I have a little radio show. I have a day job. I have a family. You know, am I the most popular in any of these fields? No. Do I care about that? No. Am I able to take care of life and have a somewhat comfortable life? Yes. That to me is successful. If I can wake up in the morning and know that I didn't hurt anybody intentionally and I'm doing the best job I can to help do my day job, and do this show to help people get, you know, have their words get out there, you know, for people to experience you, you know, just because I've been watching you for years now doesn't mean the rest of the world has, but they should, because you're a person, to me, you're a person of great value. So this is why I was so happy that you were willing to come back on and hang out with me, because, you know, I think I have lots of respect for you, and I think you're a very respectful and wonderful person, as you have obviously just proven with everything you've just said. But it's true. You know, how do we be more supportive? I mean, again, I don't begrudge anybody to make a living from their books or their classes. That is fine. But where do But where do we create a space where everyone is welcome? Where do we create a space that everyone of color, everyone of every gender and non-gender, everyone LGBTQ++ is welcome all together at the same time? Or are there different subsects of each group that are going to start fighting with each other instead of all of us trying to get on some sort of a same page? Now, I know that's difficult because, listen, I'm white, I'm privileged. That I was born that, you know what I mean? So I already have inherent things that were given to me that were not given to you, period. And I recognize that. Is it fair?
But
no.
You continue being a woman. But you continue being a woman. So you are entitled, but you know that not all society accept your position or your work, or not society support you like they would support others.
Well, that's true, but I don't expect them to, and I don't. But it's not necessary to my peace of mind and happiness in that regard. Now, if that was being used against me in my place of business to treat me less than or otherwise hurt me, and I'm not saying this hasn't happened, but what I'm saying is I choose to put that aside and continue to do the best I can. I still consider my life really good. I have friends who don't do as well as I do because they've not had the opportunities I've had. And a lot of that is white privilege. I'm sorry, that's just a fact. I know that there are fewer things afforded to me because I'm female, but I still have a lot of privilege just by virtue of my skin color.
Yeah.
It's a fact. It's just a fact. It's not fair. It's not right, which is why I talk about this stuff, because it's not fair and it's not right. And it needs to, you know, people need to be judged for their humanity, not anything on the external. And I don't know how to get to, I mean, that is the place I want to get to. I don't know how to get there because I can't find a whole lot of people. And I have a lot of friends who do believe that too, that they want people to be judged merely from the inside out. How do we get there? Like, what do we do to help that be a thing?
The first thing I think is bring people to the table, because we happen to think the first one is the table is just made for white men. They build the table many years ago, and they continue just inheriting the chair to the next white man in line. It's a legacy. They build the table over women's rights, over black people's rights. They just continue changing the person in the chair, but continue being a table of just white men. Every time that they invite someone is, we invite you because you're a woman, we invite you because you're a black person, we want your opinion. The person gives the opinion and they take it out of the table immediately. We have her opinion. So being another person, but the white people continue being leading the table. If you do that, you are not really taking care of the people, of the outsider, the misfit, the person who don't identify with the stereotype of the white man. You need to bring people to the table and let them in there, in the table, not just for the event, not just for the book, not just for the interview, but permanently giving a space to them, support these people, not just when it's convenient for you, Not just because, oh, I'm promoting this event, so I bring a black person to the event to bring some color, so nobody would say that I'm racist or an Nazi supporter. So after the event, I just throw away this black person, and in the next event, I bring someone else to replace the black person. But you continue seeing the same white faces in there. The first thing that you need to do is take someone, I'm not saying a token, but bring a group of different people and let them be part of the table, not like a minority, because if the table continues being 10, 11, 12 white male person sit down in there and just one black person or one black woman, you are not bringing any diversity. You are just trying to put a little bit of color in there. And it's just one opinion. You need more. You need to bring a lot of people to the table and let them have the space to talk. The second thing that will happen is if you don't bring people to the table, and this has happened many times in history, they will build their own table outside of you, very away of you. And when you see the table just made for black people and women, and you like a white entitled man, you are not part of the table. You will see, oh, well, they are discriminating. They are keeping me away. They don't like me there. They don't want me there. And you will see how this crowd of people, more diverse, will success in their way. And when they will success, you will see white men saying, oh, well, they are being racist with me. They are being mad with me. They are not letting me be part of the table. So you can't just wait. This happens. You need to move faster. You need to move forward. You need to go away. You need to go ahead. And before this happens, before all of this crowd of people make some kind of coup here and trying to take away my power, let me be an alliance with them. Let me be the ally. Let me bring them to the table. Let me put some more chairs. If I know that my table have 8 chairs for 4 white persons, let me bring or a bigger table for more people, or let me replace 4 of these persons because I need to have diversity, equality here. It's not diversity. If you go to an event and you see that they have 12 presenters, 9 white men, 2 white women, 1 person of color. That's not diversity in any aspect. That's not diversity. That is not empowering. It's all the contrary. It's disempowering. You need to create areas where you see that everybody is equal. You need to have the women, you need to have men, you need to have people who don't identify with any or each other, who are gender neutral. You need to bring black people, you need to bring Romani people, you need to bring Asian people, not just based on the numbers, not just based on this person have 100,000 followers, this person have 200,000 followers, not based on that, based on who identifies better with the people, because everyone can buy followers. That's a truth right now. So you need to look for people who is really practicing empowering others, trying to be part of the crowd, trying to be the leader. Oh, this person, you know, he just have 200 followers, but I like his message. He's real. He's honest. Let me bring this person to the table because I don't need more influencers. I need real people with who other real people will identify. So let me try to create a bigger table where everybody feels comfortable, where everybody have a space, where everybody have the continued right to continue giving opinions, not feeling like a minority. Because if you sit down at a table, and this happens to me many times being an immigrant, when you sit down at a table and you see that everybody else in the table is a white person, you know that your opinion will be dismissed. They will ask, oh, which is your opinion on this? And when you give your opinion, everybody else around, if they want to support you, everybody will support you. If one of them don't want to support you, everybody else will support them, that person, because that person is part of their crowd. They are white. You are the minority. Mm-hmm. So they will be all against your opinion. You need to have the same amount of people in the table to bring diversity. If you see that your event is white woman, 3 white men, and just 1 person of color, that's not diversity. You need to bring more people, more diverse, more color. People who is gender neutral, not one time a year, but every year. People who is black, not one time a year, but every year. Because black people continue being black people after and before your event. And that's very important mm-hmm. because people, when they see these events, when they see the promotional post, is always, you know, the crowd of white people from one place or from another, from Salem, from New Orleans, from LA, from New York, and many people don't identify. And if you continue committing the same mistake over and over, in any moment you will see that you will be alone with your crowd in your whole table, and you will see a bigger table next to you with more people, more diverse people, and they will not invite you. So if you don't want to go away and unsuccess on this, you need to bring them before they smart you and they do their own events. And that will happen very soon. So it's very important that you bring them and feel supportive, because if they don't feel supported, they will come after you, and this will be, you know, another Viva la Revolución. You don't want that.
Well, I mean, what you're saying is the difference between being inclusive and tokenism. It's not enough to just have, you know, a couple of diverse voices. You've got to really embrace and include other people for there to be true diversity. And I think, you know, part of the, well, here's the thing. The enemy of white people is other white people. I don't think people understand that. I think white people are so afraid of, and, you know, and it's not just white men anymore. There's white women, too, that do this. I will tell you that, you know, Roe v. Wade being overturned was not done 100% alone by white men. White women
were in there doing that, too.
So, I mean, we have to remember that, you know, a lot of the time our enemy is looking us in the mirror, you know, because we're not paying attention to the rest of the world. And any group that tries to stand by itself eventually fails, because everything dies out and changes. This is the progression. For me, this is my spirituality. Anything that doesn't grow and change dies, period. Doesn't matter what the group is. You cannot stay with your own little group, because as big as your group might be today, listen, the demographics prove it. You know, thank the gods. We have people who love each other no matter what their gender or color or any kind of background is. Finally, we are breaking that wall that is a monolith to being purely white. That is not sustainable. It is not a sustainable thing. Any race keeping a quote-unquote purity, people need to integrate. We're supposed to melt together. We're supposed to bring beautiful cultures of all kinds and all colors together, you know? It's finally become a thing where you can turn on the TV and watch people of color and white people being married. You can see transgender people finally being recognized in public. And oh my God, when it first happened, people lost their shit. It was like the end of the world. Oh, there's two women together on TV. I'll never buy your product again. But that went away. It started to go away because people my age need to go. My generation, I am hopeful, is the last dummy white generation. I can only hope, because these are the folks my age and older, I have a lot of problems with, which is why I don't have a lot of people in my life my age, because they are so stuck in the bullshit that their parents taught them, the quote-unquote other. And part of my upbringing before my parents hit the age of their own enlightenment was the same way. You know, don't have black friends. My best friend was black and she couldn't come to my house. I was devastated. I was 6 years old. What the hell did I care what color she was? She was my friend. I didn't give a fuck. You know, why can't I have this friend? This friend does not look like us. So, this friend has better food than we do, and I like her better than I like you. Why can't she come over? I mean, but it was a thing, you know, it was a thing. I had a very shitty upbringing by less than stellar people, and I know that, and I'm very clear about, you know, how badly I was raised and the type of people who raised me. You know, my mother was originally a pagan, and then switched to Christianity. Why? Because of my father. So here you have another situation where a woman has been changed completely by the influence of a white man without enough backbone to say no. And I have, because of that horrible example that I had growing up, is why I turned out like this, where I just can't stand. There's no rationale behind that thought. And I had said that to my father once, and I almost had my head knocked off my shoulders because, not even so much because I of what I said, but the fact that I dared to question him. And I see this level of patriarchy carry itself out throughout my entire life, which is why I love that you are saying, you know, well, what does community actually mean? That's a really good fucking question, and it gives me a different perspective on the word in a really big way. Because I have this la-di-da attitude, or at least I did, that we could all be together and get along and share common interests, because there has to be something common somewhere. We're all human, you know. Your spirituality is different from mine, but I can learn from that. And that's the beauty of meeting people that don't look like you. They have other ideas about everything. And our ideas, white people, have not always been that great. Okay? Take another look around and see the state of our government. Take a look at what we created, which was Donald Trump. Are we proud of this? I don't think so. I don't think we're proud of this. We got to do better. We've got to do better for everybody, not just for ourselves. This is what happens when you give people the idea that white is right. That's the whole premise of Donald Trump, to me, in a nutshell. This is a man who foments hate, who encourages everyone's worst instincts, who always talks about the other, quote unquote, those, what did he say? He said that certain aspects of Latino culture were terrible people and dangerous, and, you know, he said terrible racist things, terrible sexist things, and this guy was made president of this country. What does this tell you?
He broke immigration.
Look what he did his fucking first day in office, where people couldn't come home to the country that they live in, this country, because they were from another country. Okay, one of the countries that he determined was a quote-unquote shithole. Are you kidding me with this? So, I have to caution people who look like me, be really fucking careful, because the decisions we've made have not been fucking stellar. Don't be so fucking proud of your whiteness. It's not all that in a bag of chips, believe me. There's a whole other world out there. And my friends understand me, but anybody who doesn't necessarily listen to this show, I want to encourage you to understand that if you think you're superior because of this, that, and the other thing, you're not. Gotta tell you, I'm not, you're not, we ain't, because we made a fucking mess. And I will tell you, even liberals who were like, we can't let Trump get in, Trump will never get in, they're the reason Trump got in, a lot of them. Because they didn't do the right thing at the polls. They didn't get Bernie, who they really wanted. So they were like, fuck it, I'm going to vote third party. And they did. And then Trump got in because they were not willing to put their own personal feelings. This is the theme, is selfishness. When you don't put your feelings aside for the greater good, it's a prime example of you showing that you don't care about everyone's rights. You care about yourself. You care about yourself. And I had such a problem with people that I'm no longer associating with because of that single fact. Because they didn't get what they wanted, they shat on everyone else. Listen, I was hugely into Bernie. I thought Bernie was, sure, Bernie would be great. Bernie has all these ideas, but he didn't win. And if you're not going to win, you can't just run and cry your eyes out and think, I didn't get what I want, and stamp your feet like a child. What's going to best serve everybody at this point? Listen, when Roe v. Wade got overturned, I lost my mind. I'm 61. I'm never going to need an abortion again. It's not about me. It's about what is happening to this country that we are destroying, and the people destroying it are white people. What do you want me to say? It's true. It is just the truth. So just, you know, white folks, be careful. We ain't that smart. There's other people to listen to in this world. I say this a lot. They're probably sick of it. But it's true, is it not? Ilo, don't you think when you bring other people in and you listen to other ideas that maybe there's a chance for growth?
Yes. No, just grow. You have people with a different experience, with a different background, with a different concept. And you have the opportunity not to just grow in one direction. You have the opportunity to grow in all directions at the same time, like a tree. But they just are looking to grow in one direction, and that's wrong because, you know, you are just growing, you are just growing in one direction. You are just growing to the right or just to the left. When you bring other people with other backgrounds, you have the opportunity to grow in all the directions at the same time. That is bigger, that is smarter.
Yeah. I mean, again, the old ideas about anything have to change as the world changes. You know, it's kind of like when I do the laundry. I don't use a scrub board anymore, right? I don't use my knuckles on a steel board anymore. I have a washing machine. Things have changed. You have new ideas that bring progress, but only new ideas bring progress. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again, that's not progress, especially when it's not working. So, you know, how we treat people that are not like us says a lot about who we are. And we're all going to make mistakes, but we all have to try. And I don't see enough people trying. That's the whole thing about, you know, Trump getting elected really frightened me. I knew there was racism. I knew there was still hatred out there, but I will be honest with you, I didn't realize how bad off we were. I really didn't. It's not that I thought having a black president cured everything. Of course not. But I didn't realize how many people were still out there with such a level of hatred. I thought we were growing up, and we weren't, and we're still not. And I find that devastating. And I really hope that we can get this to stop in my lifetime, because I don't know. I don't even like the way things are in the world. It's not good enough. This is horrible. We're going backwards. And if, you know, certain members of the society, the older white men, especially in the GOP, and the older white women, especially in the GOP, get their way, they won't just stop at taking away a woman's choice. They will take away the rights of everyone who's not, you know. And I've said this repeatedly, and people are like, oh, you're blowing it up. It's not that big. No, but you never thought Roe v. Wade was going to get overturned either, and it did. So guess what? Anything is possible. Anything is possible. And if you're not willing to stand up for people that don't look like you, trust me, they have no reason to support you, especially in elections. I mean, you know, it's incredible how myopic and narrow-minded people are. You know, there is no superior race. There just isn't. There may be more of you or more of us or more of whatever, but that doesn't make it better. More is not always better. How do I explain this better, Ilo? Help me.
I don't know. You were just mentioning Trump. I just remember these were the most – those 4 years were traumatizing for me, were horrible. Yeah. Migration was broken. I have a little collapse one day when migration literally sent for mail all the papers for the past 3 years, like, you need to remain all of this paperwork and send it again in 2 weeks. And not just happens to me, it happens to practically every immigrant in every state of the United States. You know, you are just one day, just you pay your immigration, you pay your taxes, you are doing everything legal, and one day mail just arrive and you have all your paperwork for the last 3 years, you need to remain all of this because they just change the rules. They just change a symbol, they just change a fail, they just change something in the paper, and you need to change everything back, and it's a lot of money. I work, and my partner works, so we can do it, but not every immigrant has the same position or the same companion or the same possibilities or the same knowledge. So many people, is you know, like what I do now, because for 3 years you are paying migration, you're paying taxes, you're paying everything, and one day Trump just changed all the rules because he wants, and you need to start from zero when you have 3 years here. I remember I take the whole week free just to sit down to remake all of this paperwork, and that was very depressing because for moments you just think, you know, I have 5-6 years here, so this means that probably if I don't have this ready in 2 weeks, I need to go back. And just everything that I did for the past years, you know, is just nothing. Don't have a function, a work, a position, a goal. I just failed on this. That was a traumatizing period in my life. What's so wrong? Was terrible go in the streets after the elections and know that so much people really hate immigrants or people of color. I mean, I could imagine that before. I remember the day that I see the elections, the next day I was terrified to go out because it was like all of these people now feel empowered. They feel supported because, you know, you are the hater in the corner. And you feel like, oh, finally I know that other haters are out there, so I am supported, so I can do whatever I want because, you know, we are more. You're starting to see all the campaigns outside, all the hate in the streets, and was very conflicted for me. Even for moments, we were thinking about left the country. Like we were like, okay, this is something very complicated, and this has been too much money, and it's too much paperwork, and we don't have the time for this, and it's every time more expensive, so maybe it's better just go out. And then we resisted and we stayed. No, it was easy. But I'm pretty sure that many people just throw the towel because they can't. Many people don't have the resources, the knowledge, the experience, or the money to continue doing this. That was horrifying. Was a very, really sad period for many people, not just for people of color and immigrants. I'm talking about women in general. I'm talking about gender-neutral people who don't feel safe in those moments, trans people who don't feel safe in those moments. I'm talking about even white people who are not haters. They are like, okay, who is surrounding me? I can't imagine how a white person who is not a hater can feel in that moment knowing that the graphics are saying that you are a hater and you are not. But you know that the graphics are talking. The graphics is in there. The graphics say, okay, most of you are haters, are pro-Nazis, are Nazi supporters, are racist. And you being a white person, you feel like, okay, but I'm not part of this crowd. So, it's, you know, they are putting you in a position that you don't want to be. That was a very complicated. I think that no was an easy period for anyone except for the president. But for everybody, it was a very conflicted time.
Still is, to a certain extent. It's still a complicated time because, you know, there's still so much on the table, and Trump is getting ready to announce running again for president, which to me is like the only thing I, you know, and I've seen where, and I want to address something you just said in a minute, but I've seen where now the Republicans are like, well, Trump is poison and he's going to cause us problems and we can't support him anymore. We'll see. I don't believe them. I don't believe them because they've lied. They've lied about that before. So I don't trust that particular group. Now, as far as non-hating white people, you know, getting accused of being haters, I understand exactly what you're saying. That's tough. I'm sorry, I'm white, so I get to say that. You know what? You can't have a group. You can't have a group oppress other people for as long as white people have, and not expect to be caught up or accused of being part of that crowd. There's nothing. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know how to help people or advise them. The only thing you can do is to try to live by example and love as many people as you can and not be quiet about it. You know, I have very big relationships with lots of folks, all different kinds, white people, not white people, not straight people, not gendered people, all kinds of people. So you can only live, you can only show who you are through your life. That's it. And if you get accused, you get accused. I mean, it's hard. How do you know which are the good ones and which are not the good ones? I mean, that's, you're asking something that's kind of impossible. I mean, I have a relationship with you. You see what I post about. You know how I feel about things. But that's because we know each other in that extent, you know? So you know that I love people and I care about what happens to them. But in general, do I feel some kind of way if a not white person mistrusts me? No, I get it. Of course I get it. Not a problem. I understand. It's not because I've done something wrong, but I'm part of a group that has. And I can't change my color to make that not be. I just have to live, like I got accused by somebody of cutting into a line when I wasn't. I was just accompanying the person voting. I had already voted. And this beautiful lady behind me was like, excuse me. And I'm like, oh, no, ma'am, I'm not cutting in the line. I'm just here to spend time with him so he's not alone on the hour wait to vote. And she was like, well, okay then. And I was, and, you know, I was like, not angry. Why would I be angry? She's been oppressed. Do you know what it took for her to be able to leave work to be on a line to vote? I have nothing to say to this lady other than thank you, ma'am, and I appreciate you understanding that I'm just standing here. I am not cutting in the line. And listen, I don't blame her. I don't blame anybody. I look like a typical older white woman. I look like the thing that is the oppressor. I have no reason to feel any kind of way except sorry and appreciative for her position. That's it. Oh, well, there's nothing, I don't know how to guide on that other than to say, listen, if somebody comes at you, try to understand where they've been because you weren't there. And you weren't receiving that kind of treatment. So maybe some grace is in order to say, absolutely, what can I do to help? That's all you need to say is, what can I do to help? Period.
Yeah.
And then get out of the way. If you're in the way, get the fuck out of the way. That's it. You know? No, I can't blame people. You can't blame people for a perception that they have seen very little to counter. I think that's the word. They have seen very little to counter their perception. So all you can do is live what you hope is the right example and behave in such a way that when you see some bullshit, you call that bullshit out, like you do all the time. This brings me right back to you, because you do call out bullshit all the time. You call out the jealousy. You call out the hatred. You call out the negativity. You're constantly giving people uplifting messages to make us all feel better about life, which can be really fucked up and hard. How do you maintain doing that? Because I would love to be able to be as positive.
I personally remember when I was younger, my dad always say stop doing that because not everybody have an easy life, and I was thinking, well, we don't have an easy life either. That's no reason to be negative all the time. Some people don't like her. I don't care about them. I care about the people who feel empowered, because the world is enough complicated for everybody, whatever is their position. Everybody has some kind of conflict, some kind of issues, some kind of trauma, some kind of things that they are struggling right now. The most important thing that you can do is being a rebel against the system and being positive and remain optimist is an act of being a rebel. It's saying, I don't go to let the conflict win. I don't go to let the problem win. I'm going to remain optimist, and I'm going to try to support others, even if they don't support me. But that is a whole act of rebellion. It's an act of rebellion, of saying, you know, the world is dark tonight, so I'm going to put a candle. You know, everybody's sad. Let me try to have a smile, do conflict with people around. It's a thing that I think we need to do, because the world is, we can say it's very nasty in many ways. You see the news, or you read comic books, or you read a novel, or you watch a film. Every time you have people betraying people, people against people, people fighting with people fighting for something, and everybody's very negative about that. It's what the world is expecting to you, that you need to be in a constant conflict. And when you sit down and just trying to be a little smarter, and you know, you understand that it's not about me, it's about everybody, and everybody's feeling the same than me in this moment, maybe someone else needs this advice in this moment, because if I just read the news, or I just watch this film, or I just read a novel, a book, and I feel so sad about it, probably someone else is saddest in this moment, so probably someone needs that push. So let me try to write something for that person, even if I am depressed, even if I am sad, because it's not like I am all day with a smile in my face. I have my moments too. I'm an immigrant. Sure. I know life is very complicated. I know that I never will see probably again my dad or my mom or most of my family in the country. In the moment that I take the airplane, I say goodbye. I don't want to see you never again, because I am exiled legally from the country. I can't go back. They don't have permission to go out. So we are in a complicated situation that I know that my dad will die one day and my mom too. I know we'll be there. So life is not complicated. Why just focus in the complicated thing when you can focus in something else? Okay, this is complicated. You don't have a solution. Let me try to focus in what really have a solution. Someone else is struggling with this or with something worse in this moment. Let me try to support that person, even if I don't know that person. And that's why I continue doing it, because I can post a selfie, I can post, buy my book, and people will like it. But when I post something positive and I see the reactions of people, and I read the comments, and I know that, oh, people is really needing this in this moment. Oh, you know, that's like reinforcement. This is like, okay, I need to continue doing this, because it's what people really need. It's not just about buy my book. It's, you know, people need you, and if you have a voice and you have a platform, and when you have 1,000 or 5,000 or 8,000 followers, and you know that people, or readers, I prefer calling readers, because I'm not a good leader. When you have 5,000 readers and people is behind you trying to receive some kind of advice, you're like, okay, you know, this means that 5,000 persons out there are struggling with this or with something similar. So let me connect with them. Let me take a moment to sit down and write down something for them, because 5,000 persons out there are feeling exactly what I'm feeling right now. So let me try to remind you that you are not alone in this fight. You think that you are alone, but you are not. It's another 5,000 persons in this precise moment around the world feeling like you, feeling shit like you, feeling bad like you, and they need to support you. When I see people connected with them, when they're starting to talk with each other in my messages, they're starting to connect, they're starting to do networking and making friendships for me. It's like, oh, you know, I'm being part of the community, I'm being part of the change, I'm trying to empower not the people, but I'm trying to empower the change here and giving the people this opportunity to connect with each other. Because sit down and be negative and cry about how... I remember someone, I think that was my dad, I'm not really sure, but I think that was my dad who says, complain on the internet, that's the easy way. It's so easy that it's weak. I remember that, and I always have that in my mind. Like, you know, it's so easy to just sit down in your coach, in your computer or with your smartphone in the hand and just complain about how people is betraying you, how people is bad, how people is negative, how people is attacking you, how people is blah, 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 blah. That's so easy, you know, it's easy. You just write it, you're posting there, you play the victim card and everybody will come for you. That's easy.
Yeah.
But try to do the difficult thing, trying to be a rebel, trying to be smart, trying to support others in that moment. People is attacking me, let me try to support other people. People is saying lies about me, let me take this moment to uplift other people because it's not about me. It's about the people out there who don't have the same resources than me, who don't have the same experience than me because everybody will come to say nobody knows how difficult has been my life. And, well, you know, I literally take an airplane because they take me out of my country and they say, you are exiled, you can come back never again. So it's not like my life is worse than yours, but I have some kind of difficult experience too. And I can't just sit down to complain over and over, oh, how difficult is my life, oh, how complicated my life, because I know that someone else out there is or in the same situation or in the same situation but with less experience or in a worse situation. Could be a woman who can find an abortion in this moment. Could be a black person being fired from their job because of their color of the skin. Can be a trans person being persecuted politically in a state they are taking off their rights. Many people is doing worse than you, and the weakest thing, a nasty thing that you can do is just sit down and think that the whole world is around you and just complain about how complicated is your life. I could do that, but at the same time, you know, I have food in my freezer. I have 3 jobs. I'm doing very well. So why am I going to complain for something bad happening right now? Because I want to play a victim card. I don't need to do that. I need to take my position to uplift others, to take them to the same level where I am. And that's difficult. That's complicated. That's smarter. I think that is more sensitive. I think that is more human. I think that is the right thing. Sit down and not assume that, oh, I'm having a hard time, so everything is about me, so I need to make all about me because I'm having a hard time. No, you are having a hard time, and other millions of people out there are having a hard time too. So you have two chances right now. You can just sit down and complain, or you can go out and say, you know, I'm having a hard time, you too, but we can connect with each other, we can continue doing this, just try to be smarter, tomorrow is another day. People continue thinking, oh, this is just pop psychology. No, it's not pop psychology. It's literally alchemy. In the moment that you write down something and people read it and they connect with the message and they listen to you and they are like, wow, this person really knows what I'm doing right now and they're feeling better with the message, you are literally doing some kind of alchemy in their mind. You are changing their mindset, you know, and they are saying, you know, someone else out there is listening to me, it's connecting with me, it's feeling me, and these people is empowering me or uplifting me, and they have the opportunity to do this, to try to do this tomorrow again. I think it's powerful, I think it's more sensitive, because complaining is so easy. Like my dad says, it's weakness. You know, you can complain, and it's easy. Any child can do it. You give a phone to a child, take a toy from them and the child will write down in Facebook, my dad take my toys from me, this is so bad, the world is going wrong. That's easy, it's weak. But you can say, you know, my dad take out my toys because I know what's doing the homework. I need to learn responsibility. I know that other 5,000 children out there don't have toys to be taken. So this is not about me, it's about them.
Right. Well, this is why I love you. So, you know, I find it interesting that there are people who would be negative with the things you post because those are probably people that need the messages the most. And I find it so funny that, you know, you put out positive and some people respond with negativity and it's like, well, you're the idiot that needs to hear the positive message because obviously you're too negative. But I know you can't just change people. Wouldn't that be lovely? But, I mean,
remember always remember that a lot of people is daily going to therapy because a lot of abusers are not taking therapy.
Yeah.
Always remember that. You see, people see the comments in the post of people reacting very well, very positive. People don't see the DMs. People don't see the direct messages where people call me all kind of things, put me names, threaten me with different kind of things. They throw all kind of insults in there. Oh, you are just a pop psychology card. You are just reading some magazine and stealing something from there. You are just a shitty person trying to uplifting people and blah, 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 but that was witchcraft. You are just blah, 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 and they put all
That's
kind
crazy.
Of very... Yeah, you know, but it's that. It's the weakness. It's the weakest people don't go in the front, in the line, and confront you. They go by direct messages. They go in a way that nobody else sees them because they like to move in the shadows because they are weak. They are the cowards, so I don't pay attention to them, and I pay attention to the people who go in the front and say things in public.
You know, some people would give up. If you get enough private messages just slamming you, don't you ever just sometimes feel like, why the fuck am I bothering when I'm getting bullshit for trying to do a nice thing for folks?
Every day.
Because sometimes
every day,
it gets frustrating.
I mean, yesterday I made just two posts, and I was taking a day off with my husband in the park. We were doing some kind of park day with food and sandwiches and everything. I just posted two things yesterday, and the whole day I received, like, I'm not exaggerating, I received like 86 or 85 messages of hate between Twitter and Instagram. And I was just take a moment, let me read all of this. 1, 2, 3, 26, 34, 71, 85 messages of hate. Okay, let me continue eating my sandwich.
Unbelievable. There used to be a thing in society where if you had something negative to say, you would just shut your mouth and keep going, which is what really what people should go back to doing. I mean, everything does not warrant your comments or opinion, you, the general you. Sometimes I see things online that are like ridiculous, and my opinion is not important in this conversation. So I'm just going to continue to scroll because I don't agree with it.
It's ugly.
This need for people to spew their nastiness is beyond me. Why do we have to be ugly? Why would you want to be ugly in public? Why would you want to be hateful in public? It's not something I understand. It used to be a situation where if you had negative thoughts about a person or people, you would shut your mouth because you would be too embarrassed to expose that publicly. And people have no shame anymore, and they have no fucking filter, and they just spew their disgusting evilness everywhere. And I just don't understand how that serves even them. Why? Because you told somebody something terrible? Does that really make you feel better? How does that make you feel better? Where is the level of superiority come from being a hateful person? Because
it's not understandable. It's something that I can't really understand. Yeah, it's something that I can't really understand either. I mean, no, don't have any sense, really. I can't respond because I don't have any sense when people do it. It's like, why do you need to do this in public? Why do you need to be a hater? Why do you need to be so weak? Because complain is weak, but sit down and have the maturity to assume this is not about me. Maybe I'm just reflecting something. Maybe I'm not understanding well the conversation. That's the difficult part. Do the inner work. That's the difficult part. But people prefer to do the easy part. People prefer just complain and complain about everybody and complain about everyone. You know, this is a traitor. You know, this is a bad person. You know, this is liar. You know, this person is toxic. And yeah, everybody has some kind of toxicity at certain level because everybody has been traumatized at least one time in their life. Everybody has the opportunity or the chance to leave something traumatic or lifting at the same time. Something good, something bad, and you know, you choose which part of that you want to reflect. You choose with what you want to live. You want to live with the hate, or you want to live with the love. You want to live a lot of haters out there, or you want to try to bring, you know, a candle and try to uplift other people in the tunnel. Oh, this is very dark. Let me try to bring a candle and let me try to do some jokes in the way while we are walking. Because in the tunnel, in the end, we have a light. Let me try to bring people there. Or you can just sit down and complain over and over and over about how hateful these people. You can do that. It's easy, but also it's weak. It's a very weak movement.
It's interesting that you say weak. And it is, you know, and here's the funny thing about the fact of it being weak. People do it to make themselves feel some kind of a strength. And it's like, how are you deriving, you know, I don't understand. I understand being angry. I understand being angry at people who hurt other people. And you could really dig yourself into a hole when you, if you drill down on what's quote-unquote toxic, because, you know, for me, the term toxic positivity is it's a very specialized thing. I think people overuse it, and they don't understand what toxic positivity is. So very briefly, my understanding of toxic positivity is when you try to get someone who is having a specific, very serious issue that really doesn't look like it's going to be able to resolve without medical help of some sort, whether it's therapy or medication or something like that. That to me, if you keep telling a person it'll be okay, and they're not doing any of the steps to get specific help, I think that to me is what toxic positivity
exactly.
is.
Yeah, because we're not assuming the problem.
Right. Now that's one thing. But when you just want to put out positive, when you want, maybe somebody's having a bad day, everything is not centered around you, the person. It's more outward of giving kindness, just simple kindness to the world, which we're all supposed to be doing. And it seems like people have forgotten this, that we're supposed to be putting out uplifting and positivity. I'm shitty at it. I try. I'm usually the person who sits and scrolls and keeps my mouth shut for things I don't agree with, but I probably should put out more positive stuff. Because to me, you're an example, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could be like that. Gee, maybe I should try it. My laziness gets in my way. I admit it, really. But I'm honest about it because I know who I am. And if you don't figure out, you got to start figuring out who you are at some time. Now, true, I'm 61, and I've only in the last few years been really figuring out who I am and who I want to be. I have ideas of who I want to be, but employing it when you're lazy is not so easy because I'm lazy and I'm tired and I work all the time and I do a day job that I work 10 hours a day and then I do two different shows and I'm exhausted and I'm lucky. Here's the thing. I'm lucky to be tired. I'm lucky to have things to do. I'm so lucky to still have a great day job in spite of the bullshit I put up with, and I'm so lucky to have a podcast and a second podcast that I get to do. So this is not a complaint. This is me calling out myself on my bullshit. I'm fucking lazy. So that's all that is. But the fact is that I could be having a really horrible day, and I will see a post from you about people being angry with themselves and taking it out on the people around them. And I saw that post, and it's a while ago, because you post a lot, which is great because it helps me. But it changed the course of the rest of my day. And the post, when I saw it, had already been a couple of days old. So it's not like you psychically knew I needed to hear it at whatever moment I needed to hear it. I found it when I found it, and that's when it helped me. And quite honestly, that's all it has to do. That's all it should do for anyone. it's the words of inspiration that keep us going when we feel like we're failing at everything. And the people who would rob that peace from other people, those are the bad people. Those are the evil people. People
yep.
who will try to dampen someone else's light and your shine. And, you know, because people love light intuitively. Children love light intuitively.
Yeah.
They love running in the sun. You know, when you're a little child,
yeah,
you want to go out and play. You want to go out and have fun. You don't want to be cooped up. You want to run free. You're a little child, and you want to experience what does grass feel like when you touch it, and what's a puppy's wet nose feel like in your face, and getting puppy kisses or kitty kisses or whatever it is. You're so open when you're young, and as we get older, experience hardens us and makes us more callous and more afraid, when the truth is we should be doing the opposite. You know, I was having a conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and I said to them, parenting, being a parent in and of itself is a toxic state, because when you're mm-hmm. a parent, you put your negativity and your fear. You don't mean to do it. I have two sons. You don't mean to make them scared. You don't mean to give them your paranoia. But just by virtue of being responsible for someone else's life, it is a potentially dangerous situation, because you're putting all of your stuff onto that person who has no came to you with no experiences at all, and you've already given them your negative
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
And it's such a hard thing to break free of. I am the living result of the hatred, negativity, fear, paranoia of my parents, even though I have worked all of my life to go in the opposite direction. And some of it you're successful with, but some of it you're not. For example, I'm terrified of airplanes. That came directly from my mother. Terrified of airplanes. I've been in I was almost in a mid-air collision with another plane, and I never got over that incident.
Oh, wow.
And that incident happened 40 years ago, and I am to this day, I have nightmares about planes all the time. So, and, you know, people freak out when I say this shit about being a parent is inherently a toxic state. But it's true. You have to
yeah,
be so careful, because we are raising these people who grow up with these ideas about who they are, who other people are, and that's the dangerous part, even more
yeah.
than what you think of yourself, but is how you treat other people is so important, because you cannot expect people to treat you well if you're not willing to treat them well. It's just so simple, but it's still so complicated. I don't understand why people don't get it.
I think you have the answer. It's complicated. Well, a person close to mine says that haters usually just love play the victim, because in that way they receive attention. So
mm-hmm.
when they put the hate out there and they start saying that they hate everybody and everybody's hateful and blah, 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 people who have more empathy will try to, you know, oh, this person needs my help, so let me try to go there, and they feel empowered because they are being the victim. That happens a lot of times. It's a very complicated place to be, because sometimes people is really having a hard time and you're trying to reach them. Sometimes they are just playing with you. Sometimes they are just trying to be the victim in there. They are really trying to call your attention. So it's a very awkward situation many times, where you don't know what to do, especially if you don't know who is each one, because it's too much hate out there. Sometimes you need to go a little beyond and think why the person is doing really this post, or is writing this, or is saying that in public, because the person using the hate here is trying to receive support or is trying to call out a problem. What I try to do personally, like my individual arrow, is trying to call out problems. I'm trying to don't call out people, because it's not the people. That's the reason why most of the times I don't give names. Because if a person is doing something wrong in the community, it's not just the person. It's the whole community allowing this person continue committing the same problem. So I'm trying to call out not the person. I'm trying to call out the problem. Why in the community this continue being allowed? Why in our community we don't have more events organized by women? Why in the community we don't have more women being bestseller authors? Why in our community we don't have more women being celebrated in public while men are being celebrated? Why so much misogynistic attitude in our community? Why so much racism in our community? Why so much transphobia in our community? Because we don't just have troublemakers online, and we don't just have complicated authors. We also have complicated publishers who allow this kind of books. We also have complicated platforms allowing this kind of attitude. So I try to call out the problem. Other people don't try to call out the problem. Just try to say, oh, people hate me. I am the victim here. And everybody is hateful. So they are trying to call your attention. That's different.
Sure.
So what I think that is we need to try to do always is try to go a little beyond. Why is this person saying this or is saying that? I mean, is it really a problem or is just trying to call attention? Because that happens a lot of times too. And we need to try to be smarter, continue having empathy for the person, but at the same time, let me try to check if the person is just trying to call attention or is just trying to call out the problem.
Yeah, you know, I find it hard to know when, and this is my failing, I don't know when someone really just needs a hug or I should be empathetic or just ignore, because what I try to do is just not get involved in a contest with people, because all it does is make everybody upset, you know.
But many times that's the smarter move. Many times it is, because if you are not part of the problem, but also you are not part of the answer, and you understand that it's a problem that is beyond your expertise, or it's a situation that you really don't have knowledge about it, you don't know all the sides, it's like, why I need to get involved on this when I have my own issues in my life in this moment. So many times that's the right move.
Maybe.
Because in the end of the day, they are adults too. In the end of the day, they are adults. They need to resolve their own problems too. So when you don't get involved, at the same time, you are giving people the opportunity to resolve your problem yourself, like an adult.
Well, I sometimes don't know if I could maybe help, or because I don't know. And you know what? A lot of the time, I don't know. I don't know what sparked the original post that everyone went up in arms about at any given time. But by the same token, am I being a coward because I don't say anything, or is it really, I mean, or are you just giving me cover by saying no? It's sometimes it's good to just not get involved. You know, listen, I'm not above being called out. No, but I trust you on this, because I know you have a lot of experience and a lot of engagement with all different types of people. And, you know, sometimes people have a view of what I might say as, oh, you know, she's an old person. She doesn't understand. So I try to think, you know, what kind of perspective will people look at my words with? You know, so, but am I being a coward or am I actually doing something smart? I will take whatever advice you give me.
I don't think it's cowardice. I really don't think it is. First of all, you are not old. Older are the rivers.
Oh, thank you.
Older are the rivers, they continue running. Second, it's a smart move, because many times you see grown-ups fighting for stupid things, and you choose to get involved because you are grown up, you need to fix your own thing, and you just choose your side. I mean, I don't have a need to get involved on this, especially if nobody's calling me on this, especially if I don't if I'm not being part of the problem. So why I need to get involved on this? Maybe you get involved, you continue, you will lost. Because you don't know which side to choose if you know whether the problem was happening. This is the opportunity to them to find, you know, that it's like when you have a children. I have many nephews, so I have some expertise on the area. Many times my nephew comes to me to say, oh, you know, this person is bullying me. What if I go beyond and I try to see the problem to the root, I find that maybe my nephew was the problem. Maybe my nephew say or do something that I didn't know, and he's not telling me that, and that's the reason why someone else is bullying him. So sometimes when people comes to you with a problem, oh, you know, this person is being bad with me, oh, but he's just being bad with you for this, or you did something, you write something, you threat people online, because you don't know, especially if you are a busy person, if you are working, if you are over all of this drama, you are like, I used to be part of all of this drama. I grew up watching all of this drama. Why do I need to get involved now with these grown-ups if they can resolve their own issue for themselves? Why I need to get involved? I'm not the mom. I'm not the grandma. Why I need to do it? So it's the smart move many times. Because you can have empathy, but you can have your empathy for yourself from your room. Oh, this is happening. You know, I understand you. I know this is happening. Let me reach this person. I want to let you know that I read all your posts. I'm really sorry that you feel in some way. Bye. You don't need to get involved in the situation because you don't know all the truth on the situation.
Right. That's true. You're right. And when I do feel the need, see, here's what I actually do. When I do feel the need to respond to something that I find detrimental, I do it on the show, and I take time, and I like for my last birthday, just before my last birthday, I had seen something online from someone I respected, and I found it upsetting because what they were doing was insulting a younger group of people that like a specific type of crystal, or they like to collect crystals or whatever. And my argument is you don't need specific things to be a witch. You don't need products. You don't need to purchase. You don't need to have wands. You don't. First of all, you can literally make or find all of your tools outside. You can find stones. You can find twigs. You can find
like
wood.
Like the old witches did.
Right, exactly. But you know what? Sometimes someone wants a piece of crystal for a charm bag. Not to you. And, you know, sometimes you want a little bit of cloves for a specific kind of spell. Okay. My argument was don't slam people for wanting to collect, if it's in their means, certain things. If people want to collect crystals, don't call them stupid. And here's my thinking. My thinking is, if you tell people they shouldn't have these things, they don't need them. Make that clear. You don't need to buy if you want to buy. But if you want to buy, go ahead and buy. Support pagan businesses. Because pagan businesses need our support. We have many pagan bookshops that sell jewelry, that sell crystals. It's not that you must have, but don't be insulted by people who tell you shouldn't have. That's not right either. So, you know, it's one thing to tell people they don't need. That's true. They don't need. But if they want, and they can, let them buy all the books. Let them buy all the crystals. Don't insult them. Let's support people who want to support pagan authors, who want to support pagan businesses. We must support our pagan businesses. And if you can't buy a lot, don't buy a lot. You buy one thing from a pagan business, that's a sale they didn't have an hour ago. Even if they only make a dollar, it's a dollar they didn't have an hour ago. Don't tell people that they should not buy. Tell people they don't have to buy. Absolutely. Absolutely. But don't tell people specifically not to buy if they want to. That's all. And I just find that, you know, it's the message can get convoluted because some people are not writing books and they're not selling crystals or incense or whatever. And I think there is a bitterness for some older folks who have stopped creating that they don't want to support people that create now. Now, if you don't want to support people that create now, don't endorse them. Support people like my friend Elohim, who writes books, okay, who is a good person, who is a caring person. Investigate people. We show enough of ourselves online that people should have somewhat of an idea of who we are, don't you think, good or bad? And if we show people good, we attract people to us. If we give them positive, like you do, that means more people want to hear what you have to say because you have uplifted them. Even if the uplifting has only been for 5 minutes, that's 5 minutes more of joy than I had without you. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important to be a good person. It's important to be an uplifting person. It's important to not hate. Truly, truly hate. You know, for no reason. If someone hurts you, yes, that person is worthy of your anger. That person is worthy of your scorn. But not everyone in the world like that person. One person hurts you, sure, I get it. But don't blame an entire group of people for one person hurting you. Take your anger to that person. Don't spew it everywhere. My father's been dead for 20-something plus years. And quite frankly, actually, it's going on 25, 30. But the fact of the matter is that you can't hate an entire group of people based on even your experience as a child. That person deserves your anger. Be angry. Be hateful at that person. But don't hate everyone just like them because not everyone is just like them. You know, it's so hard for people to separate individuals from groups, which brings me back to our earlier conversation about being privileged and, you know, interacting with other people. So, yeah, I mean, while we would like people to be angry at the person or persons who hurt them specifically, try to be compassionate if you're part of a group that was really shitty to another group in a big way. You know, whether it's a pagan group, whether it's a group of another color or your own group. I have a lot of white anger at white people because I see white people as not being very well educated anymore. You know, I was raised in New York. I had a really good education. Some people think I'm elitist because of that, because I have this attitude about New York having had the greatest educational system. It did. I don't think it does anymore, but I don't know. I don't live there anymore, obviously. But you've got to start treating people like individuals, if at all possible, and not just large groups. But if you get lumped into a large group, maybe you should examine why. What is it that put you in that large group? Is it just merely your existence? Well, think about people of color. Yeah. They're all lumped into a group. I mean, Hispanic people are lumped into a group. Asian people are lumped into a group. Non-gendered people get lumped into a group. I mean, you know, we talk about having a table where everybody can be present. But, yeah, if people feel hurt and ignored and mistrusted, they're going to create their own table. And if they create their own table, there won't be a seat for you and there won't be a seat for me. So we really have to think about the table being bigger than your eye can, you know, the table has to include everyone. Even sometimes even people you disagree with, but you have to bring everybody in, because the minute you start causing divisions, there's no way to get true humanity and in a community. I mean, we were talking specifically about pagan and male and female and people of color, but just as a world community, we're going to die without each other. And that's really just the fact. So we all better get along and quickly, because the world is sinking. We are fucking up as far as climate change goes. We're screwed. We're hurting people. You know, why is it in a country that has as much money as this country, is crime so bad? Why are people still in such poverty? Why are people so easily obtaining weapons to kill each other? Why are school, I remember when a school shooting was the most devastating thing in the world, and now they happen so often, it's just part of the news. It's like there's no outrage anymore over real horrible shit. Are we all that desensitized, Elo? Is there a way for humanity to come back from this level of apathy? Can we come back from it, do you think?
That's a very difficult question. I don't know. I feel you on this, but it's complicated because everybody at the same time has so much fear for everything happening, that everybody try to take their own side, try to take care, and sometimes for them, in their inexperience, take care of myself means trying to throw away other people. And that's the complicated part, that everybody is trying to survive, everybody is trying to go, which is the word, go higher, because they don't have the tools or the knowledge or the experience for that. They think that the way to do it is stepping over other people. Sadly, it's because it's the basic thing that they know to do. Oh, I don't have the tools to go higher, so if I step up over other people, maybe I can go higher. And it's sad that this is how our world is moving. But I continue having hope that something can happen that can unify people. Like, you know, we were talking about Trump, and the last months of Trump in the government, in some way, we have a politician who is from Peru. He always talks about politics. He's a reporter who talks about politics. I remember when he was saying that Trump brings out the worst, nasty things of people. He uplifts the worst of the people out. And the past months of Trump in the government were in some way like a moment of union, because everybody were feeling so bad about the situation that in some way this bring togetherness. Like, oh, we all have a common enemy. Don't care if you are white, if you are black, if you are blue, if you are red, if you are pink, if you are trans. All of us have a common enemy, so we go together against this enemy and we win. We won. So I think that this kind of bad things happens for that reason, because it's, in some way, you see how people can really make change when they see the problem. The thing is that it's sad at the same time that we need a big problem like that one to uplift each other and try to work together. That's the sad part, that we always need a problem.
You know, it's a shame, though, that you need a common enemy to bring people together. It kind of makes me...
Exactly.
It still makes me feel sad that we need that kind of... that we need a common enemy. We need something to all be against, to rally together. Why do we need an enemy? Why can't we just do it without having to have someone be an enemy? I understand the principle, you know, that we're all fighting against the same thing. And it does bring a certain type of unity amongst people.
Yeah.
But I just wish that we didn't have to have something negative. I mean, I guess it's just balance in the universe, because you have to have, for every negative, you have to have a positive. And I understand the principle, but somebody who kind of still believes in, you know, peace, love, and happiness, and, you know, that kind of hippie aspect, because I was born in the 50s, you know, that would be, it just makes me sad that that's necessary, that we can't just be like that without having to first have something to be against. That's the part that bothers me.
Yeah, I understand you, and I feel the same. It's a shame that we need these kind of troubles to bring us together, but for now, apparently, it's like the one thing that makes us work together for something. It's a shame, but works. We see that it really works. Because at the end of the day, after those 4 years, we see that, oh, we really can make a change if we work together. We just need to try to continue remembering that, like that little fight of months, trying to survive this monster. So if we go together against this monster again, oh, we can win again. So we need to try to remember that, like, we can really make a change. If we have, don't see it like the monster or the dragon. See it like any trouble in the community. If we find which is the common trouble in the community, we can go over that problem.
So why can't we use climate change as that enemy? Why do you think? Because I'm sure climate change affects your native country. It affects our country here. It affects every country. Why does it have to be something so visceral as a bad politician instead of an international problem like climate change? Climate change is probably the thing that will destroy us first before any politician globally.
Before any war.
Why is that, or a war, of course. But why can't we use something that affects all of us, not just small groups of people? Because climate change, obviously, is such a huge international issue now. You know, we're pretty much at the point where I don't know if there's any going back and saving it, but I hate the idea that people would throw up their hands and say, well, it's too late now. I mean, this is the thing, you know, making sure people are fed, making sure people are safe, making sure the world is still a hospitable place for human beings. Why can't we use these things as our common goal? Why do you think it has to be so visceral?
Because it's a problem that humans create, like climate change, politicians, or whole political system. It's a thing that we, being humans, we create many years ago. We started, and now we are trying to fix the problem together. It's like Mother Nature saying, you made this, you fix it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Because I will tell you, I'm sure the planet will be fine. I just don't know about all of the life forms. I mean, we've already lost some of the
species. I think the same. I think exactly the same.
You know? The planet's fine. We're going away, in the words of George Collins.
the planet will survive. If we all die, the planet will continue here, and the universe will continue evolving. The problem is us. We don't know what will happen with us.
I hope that folks who have listened to us today have perhaps a sense of, you know, maybe being negative online and being hateful to other people is not the best way to go. I mean, we've all got struggles, and, you know, I'm as sympathetic as the next person when somebody's hurting and needs to be heard. But it's another thing when you want to spew hatred and negativity. And I really hope that folks care about the planet enough to at least attempt to change the way they do things enough to perhaps save the planet some. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's a lost cause. I know in California they're trying to, you know, make emissions of, there was some kind of law that was passed by, like, in the next 20 or so years. I can't remember what the hell I was going to say about that, so forget that. But, you know, a little more love and a lot less hate is kind of like the goal, I believe, of our conversation today. And I just hope people take it to heart that, you know, we can make positive changes and we can have a positive effect on each other. And there's no reason to shit on people who are positive. I mean, if you see something positive, if it doesn't apply to you, go ahead and scroll on. Everything was not written for you. Everything was not written for me. It's this planet is a hell of a lot bigger than just our feelings. Someone is being affected in a good way. Somebody is feeling love because of something you said today, Elohim. Somebody is feeling better because you're in this world. That's such a gift. That is such a wonderful thing. And I hope other people aspire to be like that too. That's what I mean, I want to. I have a lot of work to do because I have a lot of anger issues. I'm obviously very clear about that. But it's important to know who you are as a person. And we all have limitations. Some of us are a lot more affectionate than other people. And that's fine. Some people are a lot more conservative about their personal space. I'm a huge hugger. If you ever see me, hug the shit out of me because I love to be hugged. But you know what I mean? Everybody's got a struggle. Everybody's got something that they need to work through. And we have to really try to remember that. Even if we feel like, well, it wasn't my fault it happened. No, I'm sure a lot of things that happen in this world are not the fault of a specific individual necessarily. But try to be compassionate for what other people have been through. And I think we lose sight of that in the day-to-day, the ability to just be human to each other and maybe be a little kinder than negative. If somebody you love is being negative, you want them to feel better. Well, this entire community of the world is our home, and we're supposed to care more and not be as angry. So maybe if we could try focusing a little bit, just for 5 minutes every day, on doing nothing but something positive. Just do something positive for one other person. It can be in your house. It could be outside of your house, whatever. But just to be nice to one person today can make such a difference in the world if we all just give it a try, right?
Yeah.
You know? Well, you know, I have talked your ear off for almost another 2 hours. Tell people what you're doing. Tell people what you're up to. Are you writing another book? Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
Okay, I'm doing a book for probably coming out autumn or winter of next year. I have currently this project from 2019. Before Manifestation Magic, I was working in this book. It's a very complicated book, which take me a lot of resources and a lot of time, I'm trying to put together some kind of manual or witchery based on some kind of South American magic traditions. That is something
nice
about. Yes, it's something I always talk about it in my social media, but I never had the opportunity to write the book. I was working in the book, but simply not was opportunity to end it, and finally we are doing it, but it's taking a lot of time, so probably will be out or ending next year or starting 2024. I'm not really sure because it's a very big book. It's the biggest that I have made. Most part of the book was originally written in Portuguese, in Spanish, and Turkish, and I translate, and other parts I wrote them directly in English, so was complicated to make the edition. We are actually doing the edition right now. That's what I'm working right now, because I want to tell stories about South America in a way to motivate others to write more about our countries, because every time that we refer to Latin America in books, people just say, oh, Mexico and the other countries, Mexico and the other countries. And, you know, the other countries have 36 countries and other 25 nations. We are not just other countries. And it's many countries out there with a lot of folklore and magic that should be listened, but nobody's paying attention. Costa Rica, Paraguay, Honduras, El Salvador, all of these countries have a lot of folklore, magic, and witchcraft, legends and myths, and then trying to put some kind of shade together, trying to give, like, you know, a superficial way of, this is a little bit of what we have. Because I want that other people, when they read them, if they come from these countries or they descend from people from these countries, they think, oh, you know, I listen about this, so I can grow more about this, or I want to, in some way, motivate other people who want to write. When they find the book, oh, this is not just another book about Mexican culture. Mexican culture is amazing, and they have La Santa Muerte and El Día de los Muertos. They have an amazing, beautiful folklore. But we have other 36 countries below there, you know?
Right.
We have Brazil. And everybody loves Brazil.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
so I'm trying to put some kind of book that just show off just a little bit from that. I put stories about when I grew up in Amazon. I put all the stories. I translate from natives. I put stories about our native magic, how looks our native magic before the colonizers, how was the culture of Mesoamericans before the colonization happens. I'm trying to put all of this together, so it has been very complicated.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I can't wait. But it's going to be translated all into English for next year, right?
Yeah.
Or the end of 2023. You have to come back on. You have to come back on to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
Good. Okay, good. I'm just making sure, because I'm going to book you after this is over, so that I have my spot for the new book, because I'm not missing it. So how do people find you in the minute we have left?
Okay, I am Elohim Lafar. If you don't know how to write my name, Elohim is a Hebrew word. If you write it on Google, they will put how it is. Lafar literally write the word Raphael from back to front.
That's the word.
You will write that, and you will find me everywhere, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You will not find me on TikTok, because I think that platform is for other people with other kind of qualifications, younger people. I think that we need to respect the space that's made for them, not for me. I'm too old for that. Most of the time, I am on Instagram.
Yeah, you are on Instagram. You're on Instagram. You're on Facebook. Are you still on Tumblr?
I am on Tumblr. I am loyal to Tumblr from the day one. I am watching everybody coming.
Yeah, I'm still on Tumblr too. I'm not on TikTok though. And I have an account on TikTok, but I won't use it because I don't know how to use it, and no one's taught me. So I'm not going to bother with TikTok. I like watching it, but I'm not on it. But
Me either. I don't use it because I think that it's a platform for other people. I mean, we have, in our generation, we have Facebook, we have Tumblr, we have Twitter. So why we don't let this platform just for them? I think that it's important to give them a space where I don't want to feel like the grandpa coming to the nice club where everybody's younger. That's how I feel in TikTok. So I try to give them this space. I don't need to ruin their party.
You're not going to ruin anybody's party. You're hilarious. Oh, my God. With people my age on TikTok, I would not be afraid of that. But I do understand, though. I think I'm too old for TikTok for sure, but Ela, I cannot thank you enough for coming on. The time flies when I'm with you. I think you're wonderful. And please continue to be that shining light that we need in all spaces, really.
Yeah, to continue being you, we really adore you. We really love you. We remember that you were one of our first woman podcasters on witchcraft out there. You were always
thank
the brave
you.
One.
You are
the bravest.
You have been doing this
podcast for a long, long time. And
that
we really appreciate it. Yeah, we really appreciate that, because now we have so many tools to create podcasts. I mean, I can create a podcast in 5 minutes if I want. I have the app. but you are from the first ones. You have been around. You have seen things.
I've been around a long time, and I so appreciate you. And I will be in touch this afternoon about your next visit. So thank you so much again, and I hope you and your beautiful husband have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, guys, that's it for today. I will see you next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.